Our scripture lesson this Lord's Day is found in Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. Now, this reading will be a little different from the translation in your Bible because I'm reading from the New RSV. Listen for good news. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went on to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Think back to the last time something really bad happened in your life. Maybe a relative died, or you failed an exam, or a business deal went sour, or you learned you had a disease. When you woke up the next morning, how did you feel? Maybe you were drowsy. You couldn't remember exactly what happened. And then you remembered. That bad event came back and hit you with crushing force, you may not even have wanted to get up. Perhaps that's how two followers of Jesus felt after that first Easter. They were walking along the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a village about 7 miles away. Who were they? One of them was named Cleopas, according to Luke. It seems to be the same two that John referred to in chapter 19 of his gospel as Clopas and his wife Mary. It can't be proved, but for ease of discussion, I'm going to call the two on the road Cleopas and his wife Mary. But regardless of who they were, you know how they felt that morning. Something dreadful had happened, and then they remembered what it was. Their friend Jesus had been crucified, and they were crushed. No doubt they began to go through the motions of life without really feeling alive. Yet life went on for them. And life has a way of going on in the midst of tragedy and dark days. The sun still rises. Day follows day. As we suffer in silence, we wonder why the whole world doesn't weep with us. But life does have a way of going on, whether we like it or not. Here were Cleopas and Mary going home. There was nothing else to do. It was a road that meant frustration, despair, and loneliness, the same road that all of us must travel sooner or later. Maybe they said nothing for a while. Their hearts were too heavy for words. But finally, they began to talk about that terrible event that had occurred. Do you see? As we began to talk with each other, our burdens are eased and begin to leave us. We look at ourselves and our problems in a different way. So when life presses in, we need someone who understands and who can share our burdens with us. As Cleopas and Mary talked, someone drew near and walked with them. To them, he was simply a stranger on the road. He was really Jesus, of course, but they didn't recognize him. How strange. They were his followers, yet they didn't recognize him. Were they so wrapped up in their own burdens that they didn't pause long enough to see who was in step with them? Or did Jesus' changed resurrection body somehow make it more difficult for them to recognize him? Luke simply said their eyes were kept from recognizing him. The stranger asked, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stopped in their tracks and just looked at him. Cleopas replied, "Are you the only person in town who doesn't know what just happened here?" You can detect the hurt in their words. It was the kind of hurt you and I have known. When someone does not know about our sorrow, we may lose a loved one. Then perhaps months later, we meet someone we haven't seen in a long time and who thinks our loved one is still alive. Quite innocently, the other person asks how our loved one is doing, and we think to ourselves, "Are you the only person in town who is not weeping with me at a time like this?" The stranger said, "What things?" Then they let go, saying, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. But we saw him die 2 days ago. We had pinned our hopes on him." They kept on talking. Here was a perfect stranger, or so they thought, and they unloaded their hearts to him because they couldn't help it. Everything important to them, you see, had died when Jesus died. The cross to them meant failure and defeat. The one who had come to redeem Israel would never die such a shameful death. Yet they still had a faint hope because they told the stranger that some women told them that Jesus' tomb was empty and that he was alive. At that point, the stranger said, "Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in the scriptures. He was saying, "The cross is no cause for shame and dejection, but a necessary element in God's plan of salvation." He showed them that the Messiah had to suffer. Looking back on their experience later, the two followers of Jesus said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road?" The stranger on the road gave them burning hearts. Now, they had probably read the Old Testament from the time they were children, but they didn't understand it until they met Jesus and entered into a relationship with him. Then Scripture came alive. Some of us have wondered why the Bible doesn't mean more to us. We have said that we just don't understand sin and love and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But one day we meet the risen Christ. We trust him. We turn our lives over to him and obey his commandments. Then we go back and start reading the scriptures for further guidance and inspiration. And suddenly, the words began to leap off the page with new meaning. For the first time, we understand the Bible. Sin is no longer that irritating trait in Uncle John, but part and parcel of my makeup too. Love is no longer just a nice sounding word, but the incredible realization that God loves me. Jesus is no longer a name on the highway billboard, but my Lord and my Savior. The Holy Spirit is no longer an oblong blur, but the very power of my life. All this happens when we meet Jesus. Unfortunately, until we meet him, the Bible is more or less just a book of history. Interesting, perhaps, but not especially meaningful. So the two on the road to Emmaus had burning hearts as they listened to the stranger. Hope was stirring again. Maybe the women were right and Jesus was still alive. Jesus also gives us burning hearts that kindle with hope even in the face of death itself. In my many years as a minister, I have stood by an open grave with hundreds of families. We gather to bury a husband or wife, a parent or grandparent, a sister or brother, a child or a good friend. Each time, hearts were ripped open. But Jesus can give you hope even then. You still grieve, but you grieve as one who believes in the risen Christ who will never let you go. Burning hearts indeed. The stranger on the road also gave Cleopas and Mary open eyes. The three of them finally came to Emmaus, the end of their journey. It had been a journey of frustration for two of them until they met this interesting man. Now they were home again. The stranger started to leave, but they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." Isn't that the way Jesus was and is? He will stay with us only if he is welcome. He will not stay against our will. He will just keep on going. But they persuaded him to stay with them, and a remarkable thing happened. Listen, when he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized the stranger in the breaking of the bread. He was none other than Jesus Christ, the very one on whom they had pinned all of their hopes to redeem Israel. He was no stranger now, but God's Messiah, raised from the dead. Now, why did they recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread? Had they seen him perhaps make a similar gesture when he was feeding the 5,000? A turn of the wrist, perhaps? Or did they see the nail prints in his hands? Or could it be that when you and I eat with one another, we may experience a deep unity and intimacy we can find nowhere else? The blinders drop from our eyes. No wonder one of our sacraments is a sacrament of eating. At a table in Emmaus, something occurred when two people sat down to eat with a stranger. Their eyes were opened, and that stranger can give us open eyes too. Once we meet Jesus, we find a deeper purpose for living. He opens our eyes, and we wonder how we could have been so blind before. And the stranger on the road also gave Cleopas and Mary running feet. Listen, it was 7 miles back to Jerusalem. 7 long, rocky, hilly miles. Still, they arose that same hour and rushed back to find the 11 remaining disciples. "The Lord has risen indeed," they cried. Then Cleopas and Mary told the disciples what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Those two were so overjoyed that they rushed all the way back to tell that news. They had seen the risen Christ. Death was broken. Despair ended. They wanted the whole world to know that good news. How far will you and I go to tell such good news? Often I fear not far. And our feet don't run, they drag. Long ago, the risen Christ gave two people running feet to tell the good news. May we pray for strength to go and do likewise. I have only one other thing to say to you this morning. Although we may confess to believe in the risen Christ, our lives all too often reflect sadness and despair. Death may seem to us to be the end of our earthly journey. What do we do in a critical time like that? Remember our two friends in Emmaus and what they did. Study the scriptures. Talk with others in the church. Listen to what they have to say and break bread with us here often. Maybe others can help you see things in a different light, just as Jesus did long ago. And by all means, continue to serve others with simple acts of kindness. Gail and I have an intriguing picture postcard showing a long line of people waiting to get into a shelter. They are cold, thirsty, hungry, and sick. largely rejected by society. Standing in the middle of the line with the poor and rejected is Jesus. All of them know that if they can just cross the threshold of that welcoming shelter, someone will welcome them with food and drink, a bed, and encouraging words. And as we receive them, we discover that we are meeting the risen Christ in and through them, just as our Emmaus friends met him when they broke bread together. Did not Christ say, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." For many believe Christ hides himself today among those in need. So somehow, when we serve them, we meet him. Then, my friends, Christ will no longer be a stranger on the road, but your companion and Savior to walk with you every step of the way in this life and in the life to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.